The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 98 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again on episode 98.
Yeah, and we've actually got another of our members joining us today, but specifically to talk about the power of the mastermind. And it ties in really nicely with, obviously, our principles of education, support, connection, which is really the cornerstones of Wealth Builders.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, the concept of mastermind, you know, is a seminal concept. We created, I think, way back in, oh, crumbs, must be 30s, Chris, something like that. Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. Everybody should read that book. And simply put, when two or more intelligent minds come together, a third mind is created, the mastermind. And it's the wisdom that comes from the collected sense of perspective. You know, we talk about wealth dynamics. When you look at different people with different ideas, different perspectives, different frames of reference, then greater outputs and distinctions come that are then to the benefit of all. And Marco is a true mastermind master himself, a very great guy inside the Wealth Builder program, with a fantastic career behind him as well. I'm sure he'll talk a little more about that. But now bringing the power of masterminds to business people as he's developed his career into what I think is wonderful, a sort of a portfolio lifestyle, you know, one like we encourage people to build their wealth in multiple pillars. Well, he's building his career in multiple projects. And that's perfect for Marco. Hugely intelligent man with a lot of willingness to share. And I'm so glad he's sharing with us today.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And like so many people, after spending a long career in the executive corporate world, you know, you get to a point where enough is enough and you look for the next phase. And luckily, Marco found Wealth Builders as he was exploring for his guide. So let's hear Marco talk about that in his own words, and we'll head over to the conversation right now. Marco, welcome to Wealth Talk today.
Thank you, Christian. Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here, Marco. And you joined Wealth Builders as a member last year, back in 2020. And probably good to kick off, Marco, by our listeners understanding, you know, what your background is and what the transition has been from where you were to where you are right now.
Sure. No, of course. So my career is relatively straightforward in that I've spent all my working life with one company. So when I left university, at the grand old age of 22, I was fortunate to immediately get a position at Lego, the toy company, as a marketing assistant. And up until a year ago, I stayed with Lego, worked all around the world with them, and ultimately served on their global executive board, whilst also concurrently being effectively the regional CEO of the Asia Pacific business based out in Singapore. And what brought me to Wealth Builders was the transition back to the UK. We had been expats for nearly 10 years as a family, and that was our second time being expats. And my wife was keen to set down some roots and head back to the UK because I have two boys, they were getting older, and the stability of schooling becomes ever so much more important. So that's what's brought us back to the UK. And in that transition, I really, at that point, decided, you know, what is it that I want to do? Unfortunately, there was understandably no board level position for me back in the UK with Lego. So it gave me an opportunity just to take stock of my life, where I was going, what I wanted to do. And as part of that, really, I decided to, now was the time to embark on a portfolio career and also simultaneously spark up a little bit more of the entrepreneur that had always been hidden inside me, and in particular with my involvement with property through the years, which I kind of, in parallel to my executive career, had done on the side.
Yeah. And the first step always is connecting with your why, Marco. So, you know, did you or do you have a kind of vision of the future that you want to create? And, you know, why working for yourself and, you know, learning more about entrepreneurship can allow you to perhaps reach that destination a little bit quicker?
The answer to that is absolutely yes. I think the answer also comes in two parts, because whilst at Lego, I learned to become a corporate executive. I learned the ways of operating within a global company. But deep down, prior to even joining Lego, I was very much an entrepreneur. And I think I always had that sort of fire in me, that creativity and that risk willingness within me. So that's sort of first part of the answer. I think the second part is regarding the why. That very clearly relates back to when I lost my father. So my father died. I just turned 10 years old and lost my father. And unfortunately, my family were not at all prepared for that. And he left effectively me and my sisters and my mother with very, very little. I always, from that point onward, aspired to never be in a position of that level of vulnerability and exposure. And it just made me a very, very determined young man to succeed and to create a financial independence for myself. Now, that changed as I grew older, for a financial independence, not for just myself, More importantly, and what drives me very much today, is a financial independence as well, that I want to try and help create for future generations, for especially my two boys, and of course my wife as well, my lovely wife. So.
And can you remember, Marco, what was it about the message of Wealth Builders that particularly, you know, resonated with you?
Yeah, well, I'd prior to coming back to the UK, I would just listen to and read so many books and listen to hundreds of hours, literally hundreds, if not thousands of hours of podcasts whilst I was running. You know, I like to run. I like to go to the gym, lift my weights, and always with earphones in, just listening, absorbing information. So when my wife and I had made the decision, because it wasn't a quick decision, that we wanted to come back to the UK and really just settle down for the sake of primarily the boys, then I planned that out a couple of years, in the fact that, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. We need to sort of create a pathway. Part of that pathway was therefore exploring who could help me if I was going to make this transition, who could help me. And that's really where I stumbled across Wealth Builders. And I was actually going to try and join a lot earlier than I did, but I sort of left it about a year and then came back to it when I'd actually arrived back in the UK. I was going to join them whilst I was still out in Singapore before we'd made the transition back. But various practicalities got in the way and priorities of the move. And as soon as I sort of got back, I really decided, you know, I need to explore this further, because what I realized is that whilst I enjoyed this wonderful executive career, my network in the UK was, you know, effectively over 10 years old. I didn't really know anybody except family and friends. All my business contacts, so to speak, had moved on, evolved. I'd lost contact with many of them, which is, you know, natural, having, you know, not been living in the country. So what I realized is I needed to tap into a resource that could help provide a real jump start for my transition and the way that I wanted to evolve and live my life moving forward.
Mm. So you mentioned network there, which, you know, kind of ties in really nicely with the focus of our conversation today, Marco, which is all about the power of the mastermind group. So would you mind by telling us a little bit more about how your CEO group works?
Of course, yeah. So as part of my portfolio career, at the core of it, really, I sit on a number of external boards for companies as a non-executive director or strategic advisor. But at the core of my portfolio career, really, I also run a CEO advisory group. I run that through Vistage, which is the world's largest CEO advisory company. They operate in about 23 different countries around the world. And I run my practice through the Vistage network. And at the moment, I have 14 CEOs, all of them from non-compete businesses, which is super important because this is a group that meets once a month in complete confidentiality. And we meet for a number of reasons. First of all, many of the CEOs and MDs, and I know having sat in that seat for many years, they feel quite isolated at times. They feel, some would even say, lonely at times, a lot of responsibility on the shoulders. And it's not always easy to share thoughts or ideas with people in your own company or with your own peers, because of course there is always the potential for bias and or therefore a judgment. So this is a confidential group. We meet once a month to share ideas, a little bit like Wealth Builders does, really, to help each other, to pressure test decisions, help each other make the best decisions we can possibly make. And also to hold each other accountable. And I know that's really big in Wealth Builders as well, holding each other accountable to the decisions that we make. Because again, as senior business people, they can sometimes not necessarily always have that level of accountability to some of the commitments they make to individuals. And this is also a way to just make sure that some of the actions that they agree on and we agree on, we do actually move forward and execute.
Yeah. So you mentioned the number of 14 there, Marco, and that's a real kind of sweet spot, isn't it, for mastermind groups? So anywhere sort of around about, I'd say between 10 and 14 is just a good number. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, actually, I have to say this is third-party research, extensive research that's been done by Vistage. They've been running CEO groups around the world or helping organize CEO groups around the world for 40-odd years. And during that time, they've really narrowed down that the sweet spot between getting diversity of opinion but whilst also having a manageable number in one room is between actually 14 to 16. That's where the sweet spot really is. So that's the background to that. For some, that may seem, wow, that seems quite a lot, but actually on the contrary, because you've always got that trade-off between, as I said, diversity of perspectives, experiences that people can share with, of course, then being able to manage the number of attendees in a room or a virtual room as we're operating currently in an effective and an efficient manner.
Yeah. And I guess personality as well as just experience is really important there as well. And, you've taken the Wealth Dynamics test, Marco, so you understand the different entrepreneurial profiles that exist. But when you can get a good balance across the different dynamics, that just adds, another element to it as well, doesn't it?
It's absolutely crucial. It's actually why, this is an invitation-only group. If you were to come today and say, Marco, I want to join this group or one similar to yours, here's the money, I would say thank you very much, but absolutely not until we further explore, what is it that you feel I can help you with, because I also coach each of the CEOs on a one-to-one basis as well each month for, an hour and a half up to 2 hours every month. And there's as well as the 1 hour group meeting. And it's important that there's a give and there's a get, because I'm not interested in just having people who want to be part of the group to only get. You know, I think the give and the get is really important. So there's a mutual selection process. That's really how I like to explain it. And, you know, through that mutual selection process, you know, what I'm constantly looking for are really two key things. Curiosity has consistently been one of the key things I've looked at when I've hired people all around the world in my executive role. I've always looked at curiosity. Curiosity is one of the key lead indicators for potential. And so I'm always looking, are they curious? Are they wanting to learn? Are they wanting to ask more than they tell? That's the first thing. And the other thing I really look for in my members is humility. You know, egos get left at the door, because when egos get left at the door, you can open yourself up to really share what's going on for you, how you're really feeling, what is worrying, what's keeping you up at night about your business. And of course, business and private life, as we only know too well during the last year or so, has become, you know, emerged and very, very difficult to define, given that most people are working from home. So we're also looking for members, you know, who are able to share when they're talking about what's going on for them, things that may not be going well, you know, even at home, for example, because we're all human. You know, we are CEOs, MDs, or business leaders, but at the end of the day, we're all human, and we get impacted. Our performance gets impacted by lots of external environmental issues, including, of course, our own environment at home.
And for people listening, Marco, who perhaps are looking to create their own, you know, mastermind alliance, or perhaps already part of a similar group, can you give any tips on structure? So, you know, is there a particular length of time? Is there a particular format, certain things that people should be including in the mastermind session, and things that perhaps are not a good use of time?
I think that's a really great question. I mean, I'm very fortunate because I operate my CEO group, you know, through Vistage, which is, as I said, just got years and years experience. They've been able to really refine what does work and what doesn't work. I think an important element, which perhaps is overlooked, or perhaps some people feel is just difficult to organize, is ensuring that you're not just learning from the people in the room. And if you can imagine being, you know, if you are a business leader sat in a room of, you know, with 14 to 16 other CEOs, MDs, respected peers with years of experience, with years of knowledge from non-compete businesses. There are no customers there. There are no suppliers there. There are no board members from your business there. There are none of your leaders there. You can really ask them, you know, whatever you want and get unbiased, unfiltered advice. That's powerful. But when you add as well the option of getting external in input. And by external in input, I mean really getting world-class speakers to come in and talk to you about topics which are relevant for you and the rest of the members. I think that's where that balance of both internal and external is really powerful, because let's face it, most CEO and MDs, they have great development plans and IDPs for members of their own team, but for themselves, they don't necessarily always have very robust development plans. So this is an option for any type of forum or group to really stay sharp with the latest thinking of what's happening externally. And I think that's important. So don't just create a group just to meet and share ideas. I think that's great and it's beneficial, but I think leverage your networks, leverage who you know to come in and just to speak for an hour on a particular topic that's relevant. So you're getting some outside in latest thinking as well, is a really important balance, I think, to try and obtain.
And in terms of the accountability, you've mentioned, obviously that's a key part of a mastermind group, Marco. Do you have some examples of how you hold one another accountable within your group?
Yeah, for sure. So, for example, in my group, you know, if we have a external speaker coming. So when we meet once a month. Half the day is usually if you like, with the group members. The other half of the day usually involves an external speaker who will come to present, to talk about, you know, latest thinking on strategy or leading change or diversity and inclusion, whatever the topic may be. We'll always then try and break that down afterwards to, okay, what are the key things we heard and what are the actions we want to take back to our respective businesses? What's really important is, I think, if you're meeting in a group forum and you're coming away with some ideas, great, but what are the actions you're going to take away? And that's really important. And we always document those actions, share them, and we start each following meeting by saying, okay, did we complete those actions? So discipline is really important. A specific example is in our November meeting towards the end of last year, we didn't have an external speaker there because we wanted to really focus on some of our goals for 2021. And I ran a process where, as a group, we ended up getting to three goals we wanted to achieve in 2021. One had to be a personal one, because that's important. Again, we're all maybe business people, but we're all human. And the other two had to be business related. And we broke down those goals into the key initiatives that were going to help us get there. And then what we do, once we've issued them, we reviewed them. So from the November meeting, we reviewed them in January, and we scored them 1 to 10. 10 being we've completed it, we're well on the way, we've done it, it's knocked it out of the park. 1 is we've not even started this goal. So in January, we said, okay, how are we doing on these three goals that we set in November? And we gave scores, and, you know, there were a lot of threes, fours, et cetera, made a start, but, you know, da, da, da. And again, we then are going to review it in April. So every quarter we'll review it as a group and score it again. How are we progressing? And I think it's that sense of, gosh, coming to the meeting, I've got, you know, surrounded by other respected peers, you know, it gives you that extra impetus to make sure you don't just turn up and say, oh, I didn't have the time. You know, it's other things have got in the way, because, you know, of course, you want to, demonstrate that you have done what you said you would do. And that's that sort of sense of accountability. I call it a stickiness, which sometimes, you know, as individuals, we, you know, things do get in the way, and we need a little bit of help just to make sure that we execute what we said we would execute.
Yeah. And apart from the group meetings, Marco, are there any other ways that you support your members, and you know, how do they support one another outside of the group?
Yeah, and it's another great question. I mean, there's a sort of a formal answer to that and an informal, and I'll explain. The formal is what I've already mentioned. So when a member joins my group, it's not only access to the group on a monthly basis when they meet together and to the speakers that come to those sessions, it's also one-to-one coaching with myself. And I use the word coaching quite broadly, because some people use me in a very traditional sense as a coach, as a business leader coach. Others more of a mentor or a sounding board. It varies quite dramatically. But, you know, I spend, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours each month with every single member, supporting them on their opportunities or challenges that they may have, or sometimes even just talking things through, you know, getting things off their chest, which helps. Because, as I said, as senior leader, sometimes you don't have that avenue to let go, and you don't want to necessarily always bring it home or share it with friends, because that's, you know, precious. So this just gives that opportunity. So that's a sort of a formal component to the answer. That the informal is that I strive to make sure that the group is not just dependent upon me. Of course, I chair the group and I do the meetings and have the one-to-ones. But where it becomes really powerful is where the members themselves are contacting each other, sharing ideas, opportunities with each other. And we've just got so many examples since I launched my group of members really supporting each other informally. And we obviously have each other's contact details and emails, but we've also set up a WhatsApp group, which obviously many groups but it just allows for instantaneous, quick, you know, I've got this issue, I'm renegotiating a contract with a supplier. Has anybody had experience of X, Y, and Z? Boom, get a response. And the beauty about, you know, the group is if somebody in that group doesn't have the answer, which is relatively unlikely, because in my experience, there's usually 7 or 8 key themes, regardless of the size and complexity of your business. There are 7 or 8 key themes that impacts every single business and every single leader. But if somebody doesn't have experience or knowledge or understanding, then the great thing is we can tap into, that's where we can tap into the Vistage network, the global Vistage network, post something on the Vistage website and say, hey, has anybody got this? And they'll be guaranteed somebody in this country or somewhere else around the world that will be able to support and help. So,
yeah. Now, as a Wealth Builders member, Marco, you obviously understand the the power of the 7 pillars of wealth. We're talking specifically really about business today, but where does that fit for you within the pillars? And are you looking at other pillars in addition to business to help you build your own wealth?
Oh, absolutely. And it's really the key reason I joined Wealth Builders, because I mentioned right at the beginning, I mean, simultaneous to my executive career before I sort of moved to this, doing what I'm doing now, I'd loved property, and I'd always been buying property alongside doing my day job. And I've been very, very fortunate that I got quite involved in a number of initiatives and ventures. The last one, before I left Lego, I bought a beautiful property on the shores of Lake Como, and completely renovated it, took it back to brick. There was actually only one wall left standing, and completely refurbished it into a beautiful 3-bedroomed villa right on the lake. And was fortunate enough, we my wife and I, we actually won an international award for that and the work we did there. And that just gave us confidence that, wow, and this was back in 2018, wow, we actually we might be pretty good at this. We've dabbled along the way with the ad hoc project. So property is a key pillar, and that's where I've had loads of insight and advice through the Wealth Builders Network. It's been absolutely fantastic. And since coming back to the UK, we've been back, 18 months now. I think we're on to property number 7 shortly. We're just in a bidding process for number 7, which will be our first commercial property. But we've had about 6 different residential projects in 18 months, so we've been going pretty hard and fast. Some of them are buy-to-let for that reoccurring income. Some of them have been buy, refurb, and sell. So property is a key pillar. The other one is the pensions pillar and SaaS. So I set my SaaS up. Very fortunate that, during the years at Lego, I'd had a SaaS, but like many people, probably spent all of 20 seconds a year looking at the annual statement that came through and sort of filed it away. And again, in my transition period, when I really started to think seriously about moving into the direction I wanted to go with my career and my life, having that flexibility and freedom and financial independence, the SaaS pillar just suddenly became ever more relevant for me. So I've set up my SaaS, made the transfer, and in fact, the property I just mentioned, potentially our first commercial property that we may be purchasing, will be the first sort of utilization of my SaaS in order to bring that alive. So
yeah, fantastic. Well, we certainly enjoy having you as one of our members, Marco, and your contributions to the community. So thank you so much for sharing with us today around the topic of the power of the mastermind. And I look forward to the dinner invitation to Lake Como.
That's great. Thanks, Christian. Thanks for having me. Been a pleasure.
So I heard lots of parallels there in Marco's conversation with, the teachings of Wealth Builders. So we can dive into those in just a second, Kevin. But before we do that, let me head on over to Trustpilot and pull out one of our latest reviews. And we've had a review from Royce, and he says, "I've been extremely impressed with Wealth Builders and can't recommend them highly enough. I was completely unaware of what a SaaS was, and Wealth Builders helped me through the process of understanding the potential and then guided me through the process of making it a reality. And he says, I've now gone onwards through the process of utilizing my SaaS within the rules and guidelines, which again, Wealth Builders helped with. And that has had a positive financial impact on me and my family today, and not in the 30 odd years time when I'd be due to retire. Just work out the compounding on that.
Mm. Well, interesting. I mean, it's good to focus on some of the aspects of that, and certainly the power of using your pension instead of waiting till you're 60 when you can use it in your 30s, 40s and 50s, very powerful. But we talk about SaaS a lot in the program, don't we, Chris? And always looking, for people to participate more. In fact, we've got a conference on SaaS coming up, and that conference is all about SaaS. It's called the SaaS Alliance Conference. So anybody who's remotely curious about that should head over to saasalliance.org. I'm sure you could put a note in the show notes, Chris. And it's the 25th of March, and we'll be talking about case studies and inspirational ways to use your SaaS to give you leverage, almost to pick up the pensions, put them in a shoulder bag, cross over the divide, and use that money for your entrepreneurial pillars of property, of business. We're focusing on property on that day, but you know, there's so many good lessons to be had from that. So 25th of March, if you're around and you want to register, it's free. Everything we do is about giving away some great content for free. And of course, there's also access as well for the recording for our members. So looking forward to that, Chris.
Yeah. Well, we welcomed a lot of new members over the last 7 days following the webinar that we held a couple of weeks ago, Kevin. So really great to connect with people, you know, joining and starting their wealth building journey. But, you know, always good in a way to say goodbye to people that have perhaps concluded their journey with us and have hit their financial goals. And one such person this week was Martin, who we'd just like to say congratulations to. And we bid you a fond farewell, but obviously still being connected to the Wealth Builders community in some way, but now moving onwards from financial independence towards abundance, which is, you know, so pleasing that we have the opportunity to help in some small way with that.
Yes, and congratulations to Martin and his family. We do wish him well, and it is lovely to see. I feel a little bit like a granddad seeing the kids graduate, but Martin's a great guy. I'm glad that he chose to spend some time with us to build his journey. And abundance is always around the corner, Martin, because once you've set the wheels in motion and your wealth building is a matter of the focus of and repeating, then it's automatically likely to happen that you'll get through that barrier into abundance. So I'm sure we'll hear about his philanthropic intentions in the long term as he powers onwards and upwards. So, yeah, always good to welcome the new, but sometimes you've got to say goodbye to the old because we've served our purpose, Chris. We've done a good job.
Yeah, well, let's continue to do our best and let's look at the power of these masterminds. And I've written quite a few notes, actually. But of course, it always begins with a reason why and a catalyst. And actually, I recognize that Marco's catalyst was not dissimilar to yours, Kevin.
Yes, it's always tragic. I mean, he was much younger, of course, wasn't he? He talked about losing his dad at 10. And that stuck with him, didn't it, really? Not just the tragedy of that, but the importance of what that meant for him and decisions that he made. And that's always powerful. And if you get a powerful catalyst like that, you become virtually unstoppable. So that's the reason we always encourage people to connect with their reason why. Of course, it doesn't have to be tragedy. Definitely does not. But finding a good reason why is really setting the scene for being able to build on that platform to go on and create lasting wealth for yourself and the next generation.
Mm. And sticking with the why, you know, why did Marco set up the mastermind? Well, I mean, it's based on his years of experience. And this is something we often see and we talk to our members about, Kevin, is, you know, people want a change. They perhaps, you know, want to get out of the rat race and focus forwards on a more entrepreneurial life. But you mustn't forget the years of experience that you've built up, because you can take that with you, can't you, and use it to good effect to start building recurring income streams.
Yeah, I think a friend of Wealth Builders, Daniel Priestley, says it really outstandingly well. We're all standing on a mountain of value, but because we're standing on it, it's underneath our feet, we overlook it. And this is true of most people. And I think Marco has tapped into that, hasn't he? And used his corporate skills of your really high-powered job at Lego, having gone through right the way to the top. And now he's bringing his insights, his learnings, and his ability to create and build relationships outstandingly well with other CEOs. And we're not talking about low-level people here. We're talking about, very sophisticated people, hand-chosen, with those double skills or double mindsets that he mentioned, which I thought was outstanding point, which is curiosity and humility. I mean, if you think about the curiosity one, made me smile when I heard it because it kind of resonated with the very first ROI that we try and teach people, Chris, which is you're only ever one relationship, opportunity, or idea away from completely transforming your wealth, which is curious, isn't it? You've got to have curiosity to be seeking that. And when cheeky people often say to me, Kevin, why aren't you retired? And it's like, well, I'm still curious. I still love and fascinated by what people do, their distinctions, their differences, their points of view. And I'm always learning from other people. So, it's great that he brought those two skills. And the humility is important too, because often when people reach the top of their career, it's not too difficult to see that they can become arrogant. They can become, I suppose, self-absorbed in their own status and so forth. But for looking for humble people, coachable people, teachable people, open-minded people, and picking those, and probably that means from Marco's perspective, deliberately not picking those who show the signs of arrogance as opposed to humility.
And the other lesson I think there, as well as not forgetting your experience, is to recognize your wealth dynamic and what gets you into flow. And in terms of masterminding, it can be really good for someone who's a great connector. Perhaps they are still at the early stages of their journey of wealth building. But if you are naturally good at connecting people together, then that is a great way to leverage relationships. It's something that I did as well at the beginning, Kevin, is actually bring those people who have the knowledge, the experience, together with the people that want to learn and just be that glue in the middle. And it's a great way to elevate your own knowledge at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. And in the program, Chris, that we teach, when we talk about the business pillar, we'll often say that one of the ways to build a very viable business is not to be the business owner, but to be the gateway. So you create a pathway of connecting and seeing that a group of people, a niche, in other words, have a identifiable problem that you can see. So you just need to be curious about that. You see the problem, but then you can see all the various pieces in the jigsaw puzzle, let's say, that would solve that problem. And then you can create a relationship with those jigsaw pieces and solve that, whether it's dentists, whether it's lawyers, whether it's vets, whether it's, people leaving the police force and looking for a new career after that. Whatever you see is the niche that you can spot, and often you'll spot it through the virtue of your own career. If you can see there's a pathway people are seeking, you can become the gateway to helping people discover that pathway and just showing them the door and create value for you and value for them in the process.
Mm. So another parallel I picked up on that Marco talked about is that CEOs often feel quite lonely and isolated. And we hear that as well, don't we, for people in the wealth building journey, when they simply haven't got people around them that they can talk to about this stuff. So friends and family often just don't get it. So people need that support there, and they're looking for a community. And Marco's done a great job of obviously pulling those really self-selected groups. And he actually said, it's both sides need to, it's a mutual selection process, right? So it's got to be a win-win for both sides. And that's the same with us, isn't it? Really, we need to make sure we're a good fit for our members and they're a good fit for us.
That's true enough, Chris. And I think, it is true that we do think sometimes people who might want to be on the journey, but perhaps they're showing the arrogance, not the humility, and we would decline to invite them to be part of the program. And that's important for us too, to be 100% true to our values. It's interesting though, this whole process, it's weird, isn't it, when you think about it? Grown-up people feeling isolated and lonely when they're building their wealth. It's weird. I had a conversation only today with a SaaS trustee who said, you know, she'd had her SaaS for a little while and she was feeling like she just didn't have enough conversations with herself. It was difficult to get it out. So, you know, we talked about being a sounding board to help her get those ideas out, aired, discussed, worked through, and then implemented. You know, and sometimes you need the perspective of other people. Back to your point about, well, you can be in flow in one way of thinking, but often what you need in a business in particular is you need many flows to be working all in the same direction. And how you harness those flows, how you channel those flows, is through the perspectives of different people who've got different wealth dynamics, different perspectives to you. And I think that's one of the big powers that Marco's being able to pull together for the people in his high-level group.
Yeah. So I think a lot of good lessons there today. And again, just really emphasizing the importance of the people around you. There's a phrase, isn't there, that's often used, Kevin, is your net worth is your network, or perhaps the other way around. But it's important that you are surrounded with people who are kind of on the same wavelength, because it will definitely accelerate you. It will make the journey more enjoyable, and you'll build your confidence, because you'll feel, okay, I can see there's other people here. They get it and they get me, and we can work together. And that's, I think, what it's all about.
Mm. I think, well, I remember one person who said it. I can't remember who it was, Chris, but I remember them kind of saying, you know, imagine you're in a lighthouse and you've got four aspects to that and there's four windows. Whatever window you're looking out is the only view you get, you know, but if you can see that somebody's looking north, somebody's looking south, somebody's looking east and somebody's looking west, and you've got that perspective of all areas, then you've got a 360 degree vision, which is, you know, 20/20 vision. It's perfect vision. And when we look at that, not through the eyes of a window or the lens of a window or a glass, we look at it through things we have to do in our business, things we have to do in our careers, things we have to do in our wealth building lives. We need those additional perspectives. Otherwise, we can go slower, we can get stuck, and we can lose enjoyment, as so many people do. Because as you say, not everybody gets it. Only 5% make it. So by definition, 95% of the population, Chris, don't get it. Or certainly they don't get it enough to take action. So we're delighted Marco's taking action. We're so thrilled he chose us to work with. And actually, you know, I'm looking forward to working with Marco, and he's going to be sharing with me some of the values and the process that he's done so well to help me shape my mastermind program. In terms of the mentorships that I have, and bringing more of a group dynamic to it instead of just me working one-on-one with people, Chris, in my current mentorship program, he's going to help me kind of bring the mastermind perspective to it. So I'm going to grow as a teacher and as a guide by working with people like Marco. So, and I think he would agree that humility on my side with his experience will lead to good things for both of us. So very much looking forward to working with Marco.
Yeah. And congratulations to Marco, of course, for, you know, turning the wheels, building his wealth outside of the mastermind groups they talked about, obviously building wealth across the property pillar, now using his pension and expanding into more advanced strategies as well. So that's great to see. Okay, well, a good one there. And we're edging ever closer to that big 100, Kevin. We better start having to think about what we're going to do for that, but certainly looking forward to it. And hope once again you've enjoyed listening to today's episode. And we will be back once again next week, same time, same place. So until then, Kevin.
Okay, my friend. Until then, I'll see ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.